website, reclaimct.com. Andrew is originally from Connecticut, operates the website, which focuses on Connecticut. You work in Washington, D.C. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
How are you, Andrew?
Brad and Dan, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Tell us a bit about your website.
Sure. So we are the first website covering Connecticut politics and policy from a center-right perspective and from conservative perspectives. So what that means is that, you know, we cover all of the issues that we think are most important for Connecticut voters, for Connecticut residents to know about how they're being taxed, how they're being regulated, how the government is spending their tax money. We're trying to have a laser-like focus on those issues, and we've seen a lot of growth over the last year on our site.
And you you worked for Marco Rubio.
I did.
Wow.
That's right on my co-founder Mike and I have our biographies right there on the site. We want to be transparent about where we're coming from, and that includes a brief stint for me on Marco Rubio's campaign.
What was that like?
Like any presidential campaign, it was constant stream of, of course, we had a 16-way primary, so it was busy, to say the least.
Did you go to any of those debates?
I was not there personally, but I can tell you I watched all of them.
Yeah.
And all of the coverage after and all the coverage before. It was quite a while.
How do you see one of the big things that Dan and I talk a great deal about is in Connecticut, there's not too many conservatives here, but I think there are more than you think.
I think that there are just so many people who are frustrated with the direction of the state. I brought up, taxes, spending, regulation. They're frustrated with how state government has operated on all three of those fronts, not only for years, but for decades. And so what we're trying to do on ReclaimCT.com is speak to those people who are frustrated, to recognize their concerns, to report on them. And when we talk to influencers like gubernatorial candidates or legislators, to ask them about those issues and what they're going to do to correct course.
Mm-hmm. What motivated you and your co-founder of the website to pursue this endeavor?
So Mike and I, this started with just a conversation one day. We were frustrated about some of the coverage in the state because we followed it every day. We thought people weren't talking enough about, this sort of nickel and dime process of tax increases and regulation in the state. And so we said there needs to be a media company out there who's calling attention to this. And you guys have been calling attention to it for years, but we need something online as well. And so we went to, some of our friends and colleagues with this idea to build a website to cover these issues. And, Mike and I both have contacts back here in the state, in the legislature, running for office. So we reached out to them, said, would you be interested in doing interviews for the site? The rest is history, as they say.
Now, how long have you been at it?
We've been at it for a little over a year. We launched in January 2017, and in that time, we've seen our monthly traffic about triple or quadruple
really?
What it was at the beginning of the process. So,
it is a process. It takes time to build traffic on a website, doesn't it?
You guys probably know it just as well as I do. It takes time to build an audience, to build that trust, but we're encouraged by what we've seen in the first year plus of the site.
Okay, Andrew, hang in. I know we have a traffic update. We also have a winner, by the way, so no need to call. We do have a winner of our Miller Foods Easter dinner. So thanks so much for participating in today's contest.
And you're going to meet the boss,
Cal, in just a bit.
In a few minutes.
Yep.
Okay, it is 16 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Time now to check and see just how the bumper-to-bumper crowd is doing. So let's look at that traffic.
The Talk of Connecticut, Bouvier Insurance Traffic.
Major delays in Enfield on 91 South. Only one lane is open. There was a rollover crash at exit 47. 91 South is backed up over the Massachusetts line. Route 5 being used as an alternate. It's congested. You could also use Route 159 as a possible alternate. Two-car crash in Hartford, 91 northbound between exit 33 and 44. In New Britain, a portion of Maple Street is closed due to a structure fire. I'm Gary Lee Horn.
Okay.
And it is let's see, coming up to 17 minutes after 8 o'clock, Andrew Launce, president of the website ReclaimConnecticut.com, and getting popular.
We are, yeah. The I mentioned just before the break that we've seen our traffic about triple or quadruple on a monthly basis since we started. So we're increasingly getting some attention in the state, and that's good. We want to triple and quadruple it from where it is right now.
Now, go ahead, Brad.
No, you still go back to Washington.
Yes.
By the way, Christina from Glastonbury, the winner of our Easter dinner from Miller Food. So congratulations to Christina. Andrew, the situation in Connecticut, every day there's something down the pike, and we learned just in the last 12 hours this approval really what sets the wheel in motion to bring tolls to Connecticut. We find out there's going to be more than a $500 million bailout for Hartford. It's as if they're spending money left and right, and obviously it's money we do not have.
Of course, and we see this reaction from our readers all the time, right? Because we try to cover, all of these spending issues that are coming up, and readers consistently comment on our posts. They say we are tired of the reckless spending. On the tolls issue, everyone's talking about, there's a lot of talk about the process right now, of course, and it has to go through committee, and I know you've had legislators on today talking about the process, but what we're trying to focus on ReclaimCT.com is on the cost of tolls, right? We did an analysis just based on the governor's press release rolling out his tolls plan, and his plan would cost mostly Connecticut drivers anywhere from $4 billion to $5 billion over the next 10 years alone. So we call it what it is. It's an effective tax increase on Connecticut drivers, I think our readers are tired of things like that.
Well, let me ask you this, because not many people are bringing up this facet to the argument. That $4 to $5 billion, that's the actual cost we would pay going through tolls?
So that is a combination of the tax increases that the governor has recommended, gas tax increase, some of these other tax and fee increases, and then $600 to $800 million a year in toll revenue once those tolls are enacted. And previous estimates that have been done by the legislature and their offices in the legislature suggest that about 70% of that toll revenue is going to be paid by Connecticut drivers. So
well,
it's mostly Connecticut 70%. Drivers.
70%.
Yeah.
Well, let's toss in another facet, and that is you've got a florist, you've got a plumber, you've got any kind of delivery business. They're not going to eat that cost because they're riding the interstates too. They're paying tolls. Whatever they sell, their products, that's going to go up in cost too.
Well, of course. And I mean, I don't need to tell you guys that the backbone of Connecticut is small businesses and mid-sized businesses. These are not some large corporations that can just absorb the cost and call it a day. These are small businesses that are going to be adversely impacted by in some cases, it's the nickel and dime process of taxes and regulation. In this case, it's more than a nickel and dime.
But we haven't got the tolls yet.
We haven't. No. It's a long process.
Yeah. It is.
And you might want to add another $500 million, though, to your estimate of the $4 to $5 billion, because those costs will be passed along to the consumers, too. So it's food, delivery. I mean, all of that is going to be passed along to the consumers on top of what they already are paying and will have to pay if we have tolls. So this is a big issue. But now you talked on ReclaimCT.com. There's also something about health care, too. What's going on in the health care arena? Obamacare here in Connecticut.
Sure. Well, the GOP tax bill that passed in Congress in December did away with the Obamacare's individual mandate. That was one of the many facets of this tax bill. There's an effort in Connecticut, of course, particularly by Connecticut Democrats, to bring the individual mandate back. And what is particularly egregious to some of our readers is that one of those two bills to bring back the individual mandate would have a mandate of up to $10,000 a year for not having health insurance. This has been covered by some other outlets, but it's
$10,000 a year if you don't have health. You don't have the right not to have health insurance.
It was called by Vox, which is a left leaning outlet in D.C. It was called a supercharged version of the Obamacare individual mandate.
Connecticut's was.
This proposal, right?
The proposal.
Now both bills died in committee, but Martin Looney, the leader of the Senate Democrats, has suggested that he's open to bringing that back through an amendment process. So the effort to bring Obamacare's individual mandate back to Connecticut is not dead yet.
It will be.
Well, I mean, you don't
My
know.
God.
You really don't know. I mean, sometimes these measures which are killed in committee have a habit of rearing their ugly heads near the end of the session and putting some kind of budget bill. And the next thing you know, the Connecticut taxpayer is stuck with the cost, Andrew.
Sure. And I should note, so there's the other bill in this individual mandate, you know, the set of proposals is from the governor, and it's a less high, you know, it's a lower penalty than the $10,000. It's not $10,000, but it is effectively what Obamacare's individual mandate was before the GOP tax bill repealed it. So it's still a mandate, or if passed, would bring the mandate back to Connecticut.
Again, that would be something.
Yeah,
please.
Let me ask you this, because you work in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and you cover Connecticut with ReclaimCT.com. Can you afford to live in Connecticut? Are you a millennial, or are you a Generation Z-er? You're from a young generation, can you afford to live in Connecticut?
I don't think so. And listen, Washington, D.C. is an expensive city. Most cities on the East Coast are expensive, but when you weigh the cost of living versus quality of life and the access to services and amenities, it would be a lot harder to live in Connecticut with a lower quality of life, I think, or a lot of my peers.
We are the number one state in the whole country.
As far as the tax foundation and paying our taxes.
Yeah. It's more than D.C., and I think some of my friends in D.C. would say that their taxes there are high, but it's even higher in Connecticut.
I know you've interviewed some of the gubernatorial candidates. Any of them impress you?
Listen, they all have good ideas, I think, to move the state forward. They all agree that the status quo is not sufficient. I think what I want to see from all the gubernatorial candidates, Republican, Democrat, Independent, going forward, is substantive ideas, particularly on the front of cutting spending, right? It's easy to say you'll cut spending, you'll close the budget deficit, and it's easy to say that, I'll be tough with the labor unions. But I think for both our readers and Mike and I as interviewers in this process want to hear specific concrete ideas for cutting spending, for
closing
the budget.
One of the toughest areas that you'll ever face anywhere in the country are the unions. There's no question. The governor gives them 10 years. They have got control. There's four states that have control of the unions. Illinois is another one. What kind of condition are they in?
Well,
you see what I mean?
They have a ton of political power in the state. That goes without saying. But you have groups like Yankee Institute. I know you had Suzanne on yesterday, doing good work, pointing this out to Connecticut residents, to Connecticut voters, taxpayers, saying, our unions have a ton of political power. We need to do something to level the playing field. But it's tough because they are very powerful in this state. And as you guys know, they're increasingly eating up a larger and larger portion of our budget.
Those liabilities. Big time.
Well, Andrew, you mentioned you want to see ideas of substance from the candidates. And to be fair, the only idea of substance I've heard from the Democrats is insisting they're going to tie every Republican Party candidate running for office to Donald Trump unless they denounce Donald Trump. Well, that's not any idea of substance to me. I don't know how you feel about it.
I think that there's a limited impact that the president has on the major issues facing this state, right? We have a soaring budget deficit. We have a stagnant economy. The president can only have so much of an impact on that. We need leaders in this state who are focused exclusively on Connecticut problems. That was an inspiration in starting ReclaimCT.com. We don't cover the federal issues much because they're not as of much substance in this state as the crises we're facing in this state. So I would like to interview some of the Democratic candidates eventually. If any of them are listening, this is an open invitation. And they should come on your show, too.
Well, some have.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I get very nervous with their proposals and what they want to do and what they say, because my wallet continues to get thinner and thinner as they start talking. But other than that, we've had them on the show. But the flip side is, anytime you attempt to tie the Democratic candidate to Dan Malloy, which is very fair because they're from the same party, in one breath they'll say, well, Dan Malloy is not running for governor, I am. And in the next breath, when you say, well, Donald Trump is not running for governor, Well, that's different. He's the president. So you see the hypocrisy, and I'm hoping that the public is obviously smart enough to read through this ridiculous explanation from the Democrats.
That's what they get. We get it all the time. It's unbelievable what they say about the president of the United States.
Sure. Well, and
but a lot of people like him.
A lot of people do. There is on this website 538. There's a good analysis of the special elections that have happened around the country in the last 2 years, and they include Connecticut. Some of the special elections we have. It's hard to believe, but Republicans have, maybe it's not hard to believe. Republicans have greatly outperformed their normal performance in special elections in the last 2 years, which indicates to me, at least, that Donald Trump is less of a factor in Connecticut elections right now than Dan Malloy, and then the problems that we're facing in our state.
Now, has your website been following this battle over the next Chief Justice of the Connecticut State Supreme Court?
Absolutely. We've had a couple stories about it, some concerns that we've had over potential conflicts of interest with the vote, and also some of the tactics that have been taken by those who support.
Well, the latest
advertisings. Have you
seen advertising?
I can't believe it. I can't believe the advertising.
Sure. And you know, we actually pointed out that so one of the, I think, the chief lines from Democrats supporting Justice McDonald's nomination is that, you know, Republicans don't like him because he's gay. But we pointed out that two gay Republicans who are running for state house in this state, who know these state representatives and state senators, they're friends, they're former colleagues in one case, they have said that this is that Justice McDonald's sexual orientation has nothing to do. It's more about his ties, his long ties to Governor Malloy.
Well, and his activist role as a legislator, as a counsel to the governor, and as a judge. I don't know if you're aware of the latest now, what the Malloy administration is attempting to do by saying to the Republicans in the back channel, we'll give you Andrew Rohr back, Republican, on the bench if you confirm Andrew McDonald. What's your take on that?
So I shouldn't offer a take without offering the disclaimer first that I worked for Andrew in 2012 for his congressional campaign. So Andrew is a friend, and quite frankly, I don't know how he feels about all this. I think it's interesting, and it certainly throws a curveball into this case. You know, I'm kind of waiting to hear what Senate Republicans in particular, because the ball is kind of in their court now. I'm interested to hear what Senate Republicans think about this offer.
And well, he's trying everything to get him on the bench.
That is clear. That is clear.
Well, to me, I would say it's and I know Andrew Rohrbeck too, and he's an upstanding individual. If I were Andrew Rohrbeck, I'd be very disappointed to think that I'm being used as a chit in order to get Andrew McDonald approved as the next Chief Justice. And from what I've read this morning, a lot of the Republicans in the Senate are dead set against some kind of a quid pro quo for something this important.
We're going to have to see how it shapes out, but this is certainly going to dominate the conversation at the Capitol this morning, I think.
Andrew, thanks for joining us. ReclaimCT.com. Go
thank
to the website. You bet.
Coming up to 8:30 in the morning, and we'll be back. Cal Miller will be here, and we're going to talk about some good food. Stay with us.